I don't have a lot of takes. How was San Antonio?
Oh, it was dope. It was dope. I forgot how nice San Antonio is. I was in downtown. I forget how nice downtown is. I forget how nice the Riverwalk is.
It's parts of it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'd live in San Antonio. I mean, better than Massachusetts. Let's get this party started.
Okay, I was gonna segue into you saw Captain Marvel in San Antonio.
I did not, man.
Okay, so I thought
I got moved around on flights. No, I saw it like 2 nights ago.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, yeah. Oops. My bad. Right.
No, but I did see it.
Okay.
No, my flights got delayed like crazy. I had that thing where I was like running late. I didn't know if I'd make it to my flight. And I got to the desk like 15 minutes before takeoff. I'm here. And they looked at me like, oh, we gave this motherfucker seat away. And they're like, oh, we're closing the doors now. Don't worry. We're going to rebook you. And then that rebooking turned into delay after delay after rebook into rebook. And like it ended up being 5 hours of delay. So I missed the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, fucked up terribly. Yeah. As John Mulaney says, because life is a fucking nightmare. yeah, but I did finally fucking see it.
Okay, what'd you think?
I really liked it mostly. That is
very a polite thing to say.
Yeah, you didn't care for it?
I did not.
Really?
I didn't think it was terrible. Like, I thought it was very, very, very mediocre.
I mean, they totally did the Doctor Strange thing. Went from visually weird and went fairly straightforward origin story. Yeah. Like, we both knew it. No, nobody's surprised.
Oh, yeah. My biggest problem with this movie is it was exactly what I thought it would be. And it was like, you remember when we watched Lost and there'd be like, oh shit, the others did this. And then the next week it's like Hugo driving a van. This movie was Hugo driving a van.
Well, here's the thing, man. I like Hugo.
I love Hugo.
And
that's
why I don't hate this movie. And I liked those episodes too. I liked when they did that. That's funny that you put it that way, because it is sort of that. Like, you know what we're really here for? Just get to the main story, right? Yes. It's like when Naruto gives you the origin of a character in the middle of the boss fight. Like, no, go back to the boss fight.
Cool, I get it. He's evil. We might have some sympathy. Come on, I get it. Naruto will get that out for me.
However, sometimes it feels like, I was thinking about how we're going to talk about Captain Marvel, and I enjoyed it overall. Like, I give it a B+. I enjoyed it overall. I think it's weird to like talking about these movies so individually because this is basically a television show that we're watching 2 hours at a time, two or three times a year, right?
And then we're waiting for the little preview at the end of the episode.
Right. It's a serialized narrative, right? Yeah. Like television, like comic books. I know people are sick of the superhero universes. Some of them have definitely run their course. Some should never have happened, but you got to stop thinking about it like films. You guys have to think about like television that's just like high profile, right? Yeah. And we don't scrutinize individual episodes as strongly as we do films, right? But that's what we're basically doing to these Marvel movies is we're treating each individual episode with the level of scrutiny we would never give to an episode of something like The Wire, a single episode, right? Because we understand them as being connector pieces.
Yeah.
I think to ultimately, and this is, you know, down the road, to really understand, to really, I think, appropriately theorize the kind of arc and overall quality of the Marvel films, you'll have to do it at the phase level. Because the phases are basically seasons, right? Yeah. And it's pretty impressive that they've built seasons within seasons and then an overarching season. Even the three phases follow this sort of classic three-act structure. It's pretty impressive that they're able to manage that many moving pieces with that many individual episodes that also have to have like internal story. So you said that this is like a Hugo Driving the Van episode. I'm going to give you a different reading. Mm-hmm. This is like something like X-Files or Supernatural takes a break from its main narrative to do Monster of the Week. This is a Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah, but
also, those can be redundant to the point where like, oh, I mean, that's clever, but like, I'm not here for this.
But you know why I use Hugo specifically? Because like that Hugo Van episode, this movie is so important to the greater story it's telling for this season. Because like that Van comes into huge play into see the finale of that season of Lost. Captain Marvel is going to be the one to beat Thanos. So this little aside has ultimately greater purpose, but the movie itself, I think I said this on the last time we talked about it, they failed this movie by when they put it out.
Oh, yeah.
They failed. I think I would have enjoyed this movie more if it came before Ant-Man. Or if it came out at any other different time.
I would have loved it before Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I would have loved it before Ant-Man. That's a great point because... And that makes sense because if we're going to treat these like serialized narratives, then you think about sequence, right? And mm-hmm. when they come out, when they're in the story, right? That's actually a really interesting point. I do think that, man, that's a really good point. I do think that on some level, though, I kind of forgive them because I'm excited that Captain Marvel is in the universe because I love Captain Marvel. Oh, I should have been drinking I should have been drinking these beers out of my Captain Marvel coffee mug. I fucking love Captain Marvel. I'm excited that she's in it. And that's my big takeaway. Is like, it's been a long road. It's been a long wait. And I do think she's also awkwardly timed. They're borderline turning into a Deus Ex Machina. But yeah. Kind of forgive them because I'm glad she's here. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you one of the things about this movie I love. There are things about it that I love. So there's a part at the end, and then spoiler alert for everybody here who's listening to us. Spoiler alert. At the end of the movie, she is fighting Yang-Rong, and they're on the spaceship. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to do two people punching on something precarious? I immediately rolled my eyes. I was like, I'm out on this movie. I'm out.
Yeah.
And then they went, just kidding, we're going Super Saiyans versus Star Wars. And I'm like, fuck yes. I am here for this. Yes, finally a movie that does something different. And the villains run away. That's the ending of the movie. The villains run away. They're scared. They meet Superman. I'm like, fuck this, we're out. I haven't seen a superhero movie end that way. Like, that was fucking great. That made me so happy. And that be over. I was 50-50 on the movie. Like halfway there, I was like in and I was out. And I can talk about my micro critiques if you want, and I will because I want to. But that's when the movie won me completely. When we lost Super Saiyan, Captain Marvel, and it's kind of like the same problem the Ninja Turtles movies have sometimes when they reboot them. It's like, quit hiding the turtles from me. Like, I'm here for the turtles. We all know they exist. They won't be a surprise, right? Quit giving me this story. Like, quit having the turtles appear at the end of Act 1. Give them to me from the beginning. And we don't get Captain Marvel, really, until Act 3. And it's such a wait. And that's the problem with origin stories. Like, I just want you to be Doctor Strange already. I just want you to be Iron Man. I know how it goes. That's what Spider-Man got right. I critique Homecoming. But it understands, like, we just want Spider-Man. Yeah. We don't care how he became Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But when we finally get her, oh, my God.
She's great. But one of the things I noticed watching it is, one, it felt, and I'm talking about, like, this is like one of the most expensive movies ever made. It felt cheap on the Marvel scale, where it kind of stayed like in like one or two sets. They're in a car for a lot of it. Just like, you know, it's like, we're going to spend all the money at the end. And so you're just going to kind of ride until then, like, okay, when does she get her amnesia cured? And then, like, one of the things that really, it didn't bother me, but I thought it was a little too clever with the two twists. Like, it had like the one twist. Well, the biggest twist to me is the one that they're only for comic book nerds, that these Skrulls are good people.
Right.
Like, that one, I'm like, they lost their planet. Yeah, so that one to me was kind of like, who is this one for? Like, is this just for the comic book nerds? Because if it is, this is only going to piss them off.
No, wait. The Skrulls have been somewhat sympathetic before, right? You have the story with the Cow Skrulls. I forget exactly how that goes.
But this is their first real representation in film. Yeah. So this is a lot of people's introduction to the Skrulls.
I loved it. I'm one of those. I'm like, you're going to make the Skrulls the good guys? I've never seen this. And then I was like, then they immediately went like, I've never seen this. A new idea, I'll take it. Yeah. Like, I don't need the Skrulls to be the same old thing. And they're refugees. They leave the door open for their being shitty Skrulls.
These Skrulls are good. Oh, yeah. I just mean, like, that is a calculation where you know you're going to piss off comic book fans.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, they don't care anymore. Plus, the main Skrull was fucking great.
Ben Mendelsohn steals the show. And also, you talk about clever, a little too clever. I think this was just the right amount of clever for the nerds. Casting Ben Mendelsohn, who always plays conniving, snarky guys. They should have had fucking what's his name from the bank heist scene in Dark Knight. What's that guy?
I can't remember that guy's name right now. Hold on,
it's not William Faulkner, because that's the author, but it's...
It's William like something, yeah, it's something like that, but it's a weird pronunciation. He played... Oh, fuck, hold on, I'll get it.
Yeah, he also plays Shredder's lackey in the TMNT movie. Yeah. Anyway, Ben Mendelsohn's that guy. They should have also cast them just to really lean into it, you know?
Yeah. Or Sean Bean.
Sean Bean. And then have him let him live. Yeah. Sean Bean should have been Mar-Vell. Sean Bean should have been Mar-Vell. Aunt Benning was great.
Who I saw the movie with really didn't like that part, that they made Mar-Vell a woman. And I'm like, oh, I don't fucking care.
Oh, yeah. I anticipated that because that particular person is really invested in Mar-Vell's death story.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's why.
William Fink.
William Fichtner, that's the dude. They should have him and Ben Mendelsohn should have been two Skrulls. That would have been perfect. But yeah, Ben Mendelsohn casting him out of character, out of typical character, to sort of mask even more the twist that was coming. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool, and I think that making the Skrulls, and he sort of has moments where he's like, I've got all kinds of blood on my hands. I'm not good anymore, right? The sort of Rogue One-ing of it. Mm-hmm. There were moments where, like, I thought, I don't know who the director was. I forget who she was. It's almost like, hey, Star Wars, pay attention, because here's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
Because even that feels like very Rogue One-y with the refugees, and turns out this is the Empire. Like, wouldn't you love to hear, maybe thinking, like, wouldn't you like to see a Star Wars story from the point of view of Finn, but, like, still in the Empire, like, not already converting, you know? I don't know. It was just interesting. Like, that story was sort of cool. Like maybe you shouldn't trust, you know, your autocratic state. I thought that was really interesting of it. And I thought using Ben Mendelsohn to mask that was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And he gets to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to use it for something else.
They left everybody alive. They're learning their lesson. They left everybody alive. Yeah.
I enjoy parts of it. I thought... Samuel L. was good. His wig was terrible. And like scene to scene, it was like, okay, it doesn't look that... Oh, man, it looks bad.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I thought he would have looked fine if they didn't try to flex on the hairline. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's trim that back.
Especially because this probably won't look good at all in 10 years.
No. But, you know, that's 10 years from now's problem.
Yeah. I liked a lot of it. I thought her performance was very... I don't have any issues with it. I thought, like, for what she was given, like, she's not given much in the first two-thirds of the movie, I don't think. Right, you know, not until she meets her friend. Like, you know, she gets her memory back. She doesn't really get a lot.
So I was really... I want to talk about this, actually. I have a lot to say and talk about Brie Larson. Yeah. Here's the thing. I have a lot of takes, some positive, some negative, mostly positive. So, just for some context, first of all, when they cast Brie Larson, I was like, Envy Adams? Like, Are you just going for like dominating the 90s nerd scenes? Like, is that what you're, is that you're gonna be your niche?
Yeah.
She needs to be in the Alanis Morissette biopic next or something, you know? And but also like Evie Adams is so kind of like, and of course this is all acting. I don't know what Brie Larson's range is. I was just surprised because Evie Adams is so like sexy and conniving and sort of like sassy and awesome. I love Evie Adams, right? But Captain Marvel is like a hard ass drill sergeant, right? It's hard to make her charismatic. Sometimes I'm like, she is your most powerful female character, but her character is so like deliberately uncharismatic. Mm-hmm. How are you going? How will that cross over, right? And I thought in my head, I always pictured somebody like Emily Blunt, which can be, who can be like no nonsense, fuck you attitude, especially after Edge of Tomorrow. I've always, when I saw Edge of Tomorrow, I was like, oh, she would make a great, Captain Marvel. I'm still disappointed it didn't happen just because I love Emily Blunt, but Brie Larson's fine. And then to add some further context to what I knew about in terms of the conversation about the movie, there was a lot of like, oh, she needs to smile more. She's so wooden, kind of.
Oh yeah,
sexist shit. And most of that's probably trolling. But I was like, well, let's see if they're actually responding to something. Like, is he, is who knows, right? I noted it, even though I was skeptical about it, right? So when I'm watching it, she does come off kind of wooden. And at first, there's this narrative arc with her and Yang Rong about, you're too emotional, control your emotions. And like, it's easy to see where that's coming from in terms from a feminist perspective. We tell women that all that shit all that time, right? And they're clearly commenting on it. It's a way to make the sort of politics of the story very clear in a way that's more artful than, say, Wonder Woman, but still obvious, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you recognize that narrative and that complaint from women. So if you listen to women at all, you recognize it. And but then I thought, like, she's not that emotional, though. You know?
She wasn't.
She's just kind of cocky. And I'm like, is that the point you're making? You're saying it to someone not emotional, so I'm supposed to recognize the irony? I'm like, that's not a move I see from Marvel much. Like, expecting me to pick up on irony. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to roll with this. Like, you're doing this, like, this is ironic at some level. And it, and you know, that becomes a big narrative. And I'm like, now, I guess if that's the setup you're doing, that, like, isn't it ironic that this woman who isn't actually demonstrating any emotion keeps being called emotional, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, that's an interesting point, but, like, you got to make that last 2 hours and not get old. Like, how are you going to do that, you know? Yeah. So, like, a narrative challenge, not a, like, a ideological one. And then she gets to Earth, right? She crash lands Blockbuster, and she puts on the flannel and the Nine Inch Nails shirt and the thing. I'm like, oh, I get it. You're doing a disaffected 90s girl thing. Later, they make the joke plain in case you didn't catch it. Samuel Jackson says, like, you look like my disaffected niece, right? Like, oh, they called it out in case you didn't get what she's doing. She's doing, like, Daria. She's being Daria, which I think is actually pretty cool. I have one negative comment about it, though. Jessica Jones already did that exact idea, and I think did it better. Now, Jessica Jones is more, what was Daria's friend? Janet?
I don't remember
her name. I think it's Janet. Jessica Jones plays it more Janet, and Brie Larson plays it more Daria. But when you think about it that way, even down to the Nine Inch Nails shirt, like, it makes sense. And it's sort of, then I was able to enjoy it, and I was like, oh, the 90s. And then I was like, I totally would have fallen in love with your disaffection. I was 16. You know? And I was like, now I get it. I see what you're going for. And then I was just enjoying it. And I stopped sort of trying to measure it. I still think that Jessica Ritter does the same idea better, but I think Brie Larson does it great.
Yeah. I guess my biggest problem is just the middle of the movie is just such a drag.
Yeah, it's a slog.
It's just like, because in the middle of the movie, I'm just like, what is this? Like, I was so confused. It's like, is this a road trip comedy now with two buddies? Is it a buddy flick? Like, it tried to be every kind of genre movie from the 90s a little bit, too. Some of it didn't land for me.
This is where the disaffection, and I agree with you, that middle part. Yeah. First of all, it's the becoming act. And I'm like, oh, I just want you to be. I don't want you to become, right? The because you get, at least when you're setting up, you're doing interesting things. That opening scene with the memory thing was killer cool.
That's one of the best things in the movie.
And that's when I knew this is Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange had one scene like that.
Yeah.
He goes into the astral plane for the first time. It's all wacky.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is your Doctor Strange moment. This is you telling us, like, look what we can do once we get past this origin story, which I still think is one of those, like, look, this is going to be cool. We're just setting up the pieces so you understand who this character is. And but that middle part fucking drags. And the one I actually compare it to is Thor Ragnarok, which does similar things, this sort of buddy comedy thing. And here's where you're at a crossroads with Brie Larson's performance, which, again, I want to make clear, I'm ultimately for, but this is one of the prices you pay. If you're going to do a buddy comedy road cop thing, it's going to be driven entirely by the charisma of the leads. And when one of your charismatic leads is being deliberately uncharismatic, it's going to drag.
Yeah.
That's the price you pay.
Yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson is playing probably his most boring character he's ever played, so he can't really carry it.
Right. Nice version of Nick Fury.
Yeah. It's just like, this is bland Samuel L. Jackson. Like, it's just, yeah.
He looked like he was having a good time. I think he enjoyed playing Nick Fury.
He had a great time. He had a great time, but come on. Samuel Jackson has to say motherfucker at least three times to be, you know, really having a good time.
As an aside, did you see his response to the scandal about schools in Esquire?
No.
His response to the way he talks to MAGA supporters in Esquire.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, it's just full of fuck yous and motherfuckers. Okay. It's peak Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Right. Go read it. If you can pull it up, we should read it on the air because it's amazing. But
I'll read it separately.
That's good. It's fucking good.
Tell them about it. Hit it where it hurts.
Hey, cool thing. Come here. Sit down beside me. There's something I gotta ask you. I just wanna know, what are you gonna do for me? I mean, are you gonna liberate us girls from male, white, corporate oppression?
Tell like it is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Word up.
Fear it.
Okay, where were we?
We were just rambling about Captain Marvel. Looking forward, what did you think about the teaser at the end? Oh,
loved it. It was weird because exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't make me wait. Just give me fucking Captain Marvel, you know?
Yeah.
And immediately they're like, she's just there. Boom. What? Yeah. Where's Fury? Like, yes!
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
So it was all, honestly, to be completely honest, and we're talking about this as like an episode, a TV show, right? I'm just hooked. I'm watching every episode. This is I hate to say it, a skippable episode. However, all worth it for that final moment where Captain Marvel is here, finally, and she's fucking whipping around weird photon Kamehamehas and blowing up spaceships and has her fucking fire mohawk. I'm like, finally, this is all I wanted. And then when she just shows up, it's like, where's Fury? Like, that, like, immediately just make demanding answers. Yeah. Now Captain Marvel is Captain Marvel. She's this hard ass badass who ain't got time for this. Like, that's who I was waiting for, and she's finally here. So I fucking loved it. The flirt, is this the little cat from the comics? Is this a tentacle face cat? I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good. That's, you talk about how the Skrulls might piss off the fans. This is your sort of like, but we gave you the Flurkin, and I'm like, oh, the Flurkin. I didn't give a shit about the Flurkin, but it's fun to see you here, I guess. And that's one of those like flex moments. Like, yeah, we put a Flurkin in the movie. Why not? You're still gonna come see it. They made $500 million the first weekend.
Yeah. Just print money.
I'll give you a hot take, though. I liked it more than I liked Wonder Woman. But way more.
Really?
Way more. Even down to it's like too on-the-nose feminism sometimes. Like playing just, I'm just a girl with her kick-ass scene.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So obvious. Oh. But at that point, I was like, Man, go ahead and flex. I'm with you. I love that song.
Like, oh, man, the songs they chose every time. It was so on the nose. It was like they made a cut of the film and these were their first choices. Like, these are just like the placeholders. Like, we need something like this. And they just kept it.
Hey. If it ain't broke, bro, don't fix it.
I know.
Come as you are. Hey, and give a little bit of credit. I think they deserve credit for two things. One, not picking Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's good, yeah. That's
picking
good.
Come as You Are. I thought that was a nice choice, right? Number two, resisting using Blur song 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually they should be commended for that. Yeah,
right. I was impressed. Yeah, it showed remarkable restraint.
Yeah. Just the girl was too.
I was actually disappointed we didn't get some Bush.
Oh, no, that's a little too on the nose. I get you.
But Just a Girl, yeah, it's super on the nose.
Yeah,
like heavy-handedly obvious. But at that point, I was like, man. I don't care. Captain Marvel's finally here. Like, I didn't care. Yeah. I was like, I love this song. I was like, but it is super the most obvious choice. Yeah. But also, like, then I thought, like, but it's not this one. Which one? Like, what other iconic feminist songs are there from the 90s? There aren't that many because, you know, the 90s aren't as good as we remember them. What's after that? Like, Come Through My Window? Like, what else could you play over that scene?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know. What would you pick? I thought, right. Isn't that how you, one thing you wanted to talk about? What songs would you pick?
Yes. Yeah. So this is the thing. So people can follow along. I wanted to know, because I, you know, like, as much as on the nose as it was, I was like, man, I'd do the same thing. I don't blame your movie. Like, I'd be super cheesy about it. And, you know, so the thing I asked you was, these are the questions I asked you. What songs would you play over your own version of Captain Marvel moment? So, like, you were Captain Marvel and your movie set in the 90s.
Okay.
Right? What songs are you picking to play over? So, there's three. I sent you two, but there's actually three I remembered. Where she gets the motorcycle.
Okay.
Like, her sort of, like, kick-ass, like, I'm cool song. Right?
Okay.
It's garbage. I'm only happy when it rains.
Okay.
She is in her mind and she defeats the Supreme Intelligence and she sort of recaptures her memories and becomes herself, right?
Yeah.
As You Are.
Okay.
And then the last one is when she is, because her fight scene, right? Her Jackie Chan moment where, like, I'm going to whoop everyone's ass was I'm Just a Girl.
Okay.
So what are your songs for those moments? And I can start if you want me to.
You go, because I need a moment to think. Go for it.
All right. So, motorcycle moment. I'm putting on my cool duds, and this is my new persona.
Mm-hmm.
California love.
Okay.
Yeah, baby. Bump it up. Bump it up. Yeah, definitely California love.
I was gonna go a similar vein there. I was gonna go Gin and Juice.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I was gonna go Gin and Juice. Okay.
Yeah, that's dope. Okay, so the next one is when you're inside of your own mind and you accept yourself for who you are or whatever. I'm gonna go. So I think a surprising choice, and I think maybe hopefully mine will make more sense later as we move forward. But I'm gonna go Red Hot Chili Peppers Under the Bridge.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's about the city. Because I also asked you where would you crash land. In your 90s shout out. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where do you crash land in your 90s shout out?
I don't know. Like,
you can think about it. Mine's Astroworld. Mine's Astroworld?
Okay.
Yeah. And Ghetto Boys will be playing. So I picked Under the Bridge because Andy Kiedis' relationship to LA, I think, mirrors my relationship to Houston.
Hmm. See, you got more time to think about. You thought this more out than I could have.
Hey, man, as soon as I had the idea, I texted you.
Yeah, you were like,
stopped thinking about it.
Yeah, because, like, all my I think of the early 2000s more than I think of the 90s. I don't know.
Fuck, go early 2000s then.
Okay, my crash place would have to be your house.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It would be your house.
You have to smash through the Rita sign.
Yeah. And actually, my song would be Time Trap.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my song would be Time Trap.
Oh, I hope you're doing a time traveling story.
Yeah. Yeah. A little Built to Spill. Built to Spill at Built to Spill at Rita's. That's where I'm crash landing.
And then, I'm crash landing the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
Mine's playing tricks on me. And what am I, which actually I think is an 80s song, but fuck it. Yeah. And it's all on the table for me.
Yeah, everything's on, yeah.
So what is your battle song?
My battle song is always Get to the Gun by Static X.
Nice! Nice!
Always and forever.
I wish I had already used that for a song, for one of our theme songs. I've already
Used
that. Yeah. Or I would have picked that one. I'm going
to
go.
That's a hell of a song to start with.
Man, that might be. It was the one for the first weekly rant.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, I'm going to go Rob Zombie Super Beast.
Nice.
Although, nice. I'm jealous of your choice.
Yeah.
I almost went, what's the song? Five? I forget the name of the band. So the last one is, let's see, your t-shirt.
Oh.
God. What is the band t-shirt you're going to be wearing? I already got mine. Mine's obvious. Cake. And the pig. I'm going Prolonging the Magic.
Okay. I never really
going Fashion Nugget, even though it's a crime, and that suits my personality.
See, my shirt would still be a video game reference.
Oh, there you go. What were you saying?
It'd be a Goomba.
A Goomba?
Just like a straight.
The 90s.
Yeah, no. I don't know. It's like, it's got to be 90s. Fuck, that was like 20 years ago.
You can't be a Goomba, Joe. You got to be something more powerful, man. Give yourself a Triforce.
Yeah, I go with Triforce. But I actually own that shirt.
I'm actually going to go back to... I'm not going to be a pig. I'm going to go Fashion Nugget. So I'm going to have a crown on my shirt. The king is here.
Yeah. Also, I did appreciate that. Did you see the artist who did the Nine Inch Nails logo said that was a bootleg? because the logo was incorrect. Like only he could notice it. Was like, yeah, no, that's a bootleg.
That's perfectly 90s, though.
Yeah.
That's so perfectly 90s.
Yeah. Bootleg Nine Inch Nails shirt. Also, Nine Inch Nails shirt, come on.
Hey, man, I own so many Nine Inch Nails shirts.
I know, but that was a little bit like...
I was like, movie? If you're pandering to me, movie, it's working.
Actually... If I did wear a band shirt, fucking Rage Against the Machine, now that I'm thinking about it,
oh,
I'd wear the first album. Like, yeah.
Oh, man. And with the themes of the movie, right? Because they're also the themes of the movie, right? Because what is an awesome Nine Inch Nails song? Terrible Lie. Probably not what they're referencing, but it sort of works.
Yeah. All right. So if you had to give it a letter grade, what would you give it?
I'll give it B+. And I think it's better than Wonder Woman. And again, I can't stress enough. Like, I feel like we've been picking it apart, and, you know, we're being fair to it, I would say, but I want to just once again express how much joy I felt. And I was like, and a little bit of, like, frustrated joy, because it took them so long to finally give it to me. But fully realized Super Saiyan Carol Danvers, blowing up fucking, that's what's fun about her. It's like Dragon Ball Z versus Star Wars. And, like, I was just super into it. And also, what's his name? Korok the Pursuer? Surprisingly funny.
Yeah.
But Carol Danvers, that's when I went from like B- B to solid B+, only because I didn't get enough of it. And also, wait, I want to shout out the ending in terms of unique endings, because you get this like, show me your emotions, as it feels like this arc is going to crescendo. And she's like, nah, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Like, she's just like, I'm Super Saiyan Carol Danvers. I got shit to prove to you. Fuck out of here. And she shoots him in the face. Like,
I thought that was the feminist metaphor that hit the best.
Yeah, like, hit the best.
Why should I hold myself back?
Yeah, why? Like, I'm not even going to give you the satisfaction of completing this narrative.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Like,
it's an awesome moment. I don't think there's anything that good in Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, you mostly get cute jokes.
I still haven't seen Wonder Woman.
You should for cultural literacy.
I need to see it.
Here's the thing. The first act is one of the best first acts in comic book film history. when they're at the mascara, it's dope.
Okay.
The second act is just leftover jokes from the first Thor movie. And then the third act is every superhero movie you've ever seen.
Okay.
That's Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And Gal Gadot, wonderful. Delightful. A true delight. She holds that movie together. Yeah. Anybody else, honestly, she totally fucking, who's the guy from Gangs of New York and Abraham Lincoln?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. She totally Daniel Day-Lewis's those movies, and that this movie is not good, but you're so good in it, you're convincing me that it might be good. Like, mm-hmm. I am convinced that Daniel Day-Lewis deliberately takes what are actually mediocre stories and turns them into gold because he's that good. He's like the LeBron. He's the LeBron. Watch me drag Eric Snow to the finals. Right?
Or it's like Chris Evans before he started getting good scripts.
Yeah.
Like, yes. That guy was always in trash and fucking great in it.
But he was a fucking pro. And he would drag that story to fucking watchability, you know?
Yeah.
That's Daniel. He's Daniel. Yeah, exactly. Except Chris Evans is not quite Daniel Day-Lewis, but in the same conversation.
No, but like his early career, like here's a bad movie, but man, this guy's good in it.
Yeah. I wish they didn't show me Fury's eye because I don't give a shit. Like,
oh my god, I thought that was just.
I don't need to know. I don't care. No one cares about
the solo problem. It's like, I don't need an explanation of everything. I don't need an explanation of everything.
I have never wondered where he got those fuzzy dice or his fucking key ring. Or that haircut. Like, I don't need to know that shit.
Or
like,
his name. Like, really? His name needs this backstory? Like, fuck you.
Did they do that? I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
Oh, I've seen the first 45 minutes, and I knew. I was like, oh, I don't care for this. He gets separated from some people, and he goes to enlist in the Empire. And they're like, so what's your name, boy? What's your family name? He's like, I don't have a family. Oh, okay, then. Han Solo.
Oh. Oh man,
who needed this?
Here's what infuriates me about that. First of all, I refused to watch it when they announced it. I'm like, this is a terrible idea. And then when they started casting it and gave trailers, like, this is a terrible idea. And then when people were sometimes surprised I haven't seen it because, you know, I watch nerd stuff. I'm like, oh, because the obviously terrible idea turned out terribly. Like, hard pass, you know. But that infuriates me because, like, that got how much levels of vetting did that terrible idea go through and nobody caught it?
No. Well, see, the only way I think so, the directors who were making it got fired and they were the two dudes who did 21 Jump Street. The only way this
was it the Lego Movie guys?
Yeah, the Lego Movie guys. So to me, I read that as if this is a comedy, like, that's making fun of Star Wars. Okay, this might have worked. And then Disney panicked and they didn't do it, but they kept.
But they had to keep
clearly the should have been a joke.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Had this been vaguely satirical.
Yeah, that's funny instead of just fucking painful.
Oh, man. Come on. That's Lucasfilm dynamics, right? Because they totally would let Marvel do that.
Yeah.
Marvel does kind of slightly subversive things all the time. I feel like Marvel sometimes is like, we're only going to be so subversive. Yeah. We promise we won't fly any more planes into buildings to end our movies. You know?
Yeah.
Because they got away with a big one, you know? Yeah. And they're like, all right, because you guys are the cash cow. And Star Wars just, like, it must have been Lucasfilm that panicked on it.
Maybe. I don't know. Marvel did the same thing on Ant-Man, and then they kind of learned their lesson, like, oh, we didn't have to.
That's true, but they kept the tone that was intended.
They did.
Yeah. And from what I understand about that, Edgar Wright just didn't want to connect to the other Marvel movies, and he was refusing like to do the Avengers scene and stuff like that. He wanted to do a standalone, and that's why. So that's my understanding of it.
Ant-Man's fine for it. Like, he came out okay.
Yeah.
After all that.
And he also, like, you could totally see Edgar Wright's style all over it.
Yeah. But Solo did not. Like, I saw enough of that movie. Donald Glover was great in the scenes I saw him in, but even his scenes are just like, they're immediately gambling for the ship, like, within 2 minutes of meeting each other.
Right.
Like, immediately. And it doesn't happen. Like, it doesn't happen then, but it's just like, oh, come on. Like,
it would have been so much better for him to have already had the ship and for
Lando to be mad about.
Be salty, right?
Yes.
Because then they tease us, and it's just more fun. Like, come on, that's just man. Who, man? See, Joe. This is why, and let's get into the realness of it.
Yeah.
The most overrated franchise has got to be Star Wars. It is at the bottom, right? Star Trek better record, X-Men better record, Marvel better record. All right, wait, hold on. DC. All right, they're at the bottom. But that's not even, you didn't even mention DC. It's like bringing up the fucking, I don't know, the Suns. They're tanking. I feel like they're taking a purpose.
But see, like, which DC, are we talking about DC as a whole? Because they still have, like, the Dark Knight trilogy. They still have, like, all these great
films.
Films exclusively. Yeah, but I'm talking, they still have, like, the Dark Knight. They have the Nolan trilogy. Like, they still have all these great movies. Are we counting those? Or are we just talking about their current universe?
Let's count those as a fair point. They also have the original Superman movies.
Yeah.
They have, all right, the Hellcat. There you go. Star Wars is at the bottom. Star Wars mostly sucks.
I think X-Men would be at the bottom, but I know.
No, Joe.
No.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm willing. Let's
or Fantastic Four is at the bottom, clearly. Yeah, they're their own sort of. They're their own thing. Sony owns them.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Spider-Man might be at the bottom.
No, actually, Fox owns them. Fox owns X-Men, or Fantastic Four. They just kept them on their own.
Thank God. They kept trying to cross them over, and Bryan Singer was always like, nope. You keep hang on to them. Fuck Bryan Singer, though.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a joke, but I'm glad I could.
Nah, it's just Bryan Singer. And so, all right, let's actually just tally the score. Here's what we're going to do. Let's do this. I'm going to put X-Men on here. I'm going to put Spider-Man on here.
Okay.
Ooh, boy, this might hurt me. And Star Wars. So here's how we're going to mark it up. We're going to put, let's see, 3-point scales. One, we're going to put goat movies. Just fucking goats, you know? Then we're going to put, I'm going to put okay, but okay covers good to okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I'm going to put shit movies.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna rank all the movies in these properties, in these little mini universes, and see who's at the bottom.
Okay.
Let's start with the X-Men. So goat movies.
X2.
Yeah. Logan.
First Class. Logan.
First Class.
First Class.
I want to put Future Past on her.
I disagree. I think that movie's very okay.
I'm gonna put it on the okay list.
Okay.
Protest.
Okay.
Because I don't think we need it. Deadpool.
It's good. It's not great.
DP2.
DP1 is better, I think. But I think they're both very okay. You think DP2's better?
I do. Let's see. I'll put them under okay, but
they're not great. Like they're very good.
They changed the game, Joe.
They did.
X1? All right, X1's got to be a goat. It started the whole thing. It's sort of like a grandpa goat.
Oh, but it's just... Have you watched that movie recently?
I have. I still like it. Dude, I want to put David... I want to put Days of Future Past, Deadpool 2, and X1 on the fucking goat list.
I'll give you X1.
All right.
You conceded 2 to me. I'll give you X1.
All right, so shit movies, X3.
Yes.
Apocalypse. Oh, wait, okay, movies, we got to put Wolverine.
The first one? Oh, no, the Wolverine, yes, that one's okay.
No, Weapon X, fucking on the shit list.
Yeah.
That's the worst one. That's double underline.
And I fucking love that movie.
I love it too, but
I fucking love that movie.
X3 Apocalypse, Weapon X, and what's missing? We're forgetting one here.
Are we?
Feels like we are. Oh, I'm gonna a Phoenix. Because I'm just gonna.
Oh yeah, that movie's.
It's gonna be terrible.
We already know.
It's gonna be terrible. We already know.
Jennifer Lawrence's makeup told me all I needed to know.
Spider-Man, yeah, Spider-Man's Spider-Man goat movies. We got
Spider-Man 2. That's it.
Spider-Man 2. That's it. That's okay, it. Maybe Spider-Man 1.
Very okay.
Very okay. Homecoming.
Very okay.
Civil War and Endgame is just cameos. Those aren't his.
Yeah, they'll count.
And in shit movies, we got S3 and both Garfields.
Yeah. Ooh. Even though I think the first one's not that bad, but we'll the second one's a fuck mess.
We'll put it at the first. We'll put it in okay. I actually agree with that. The first, all right. Dennis Leary, surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone had genuine chemistry.
He's a wasted take on Spider-Man.
He really was. Andrew Garfield got a bad shake. He actually would have been a good Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There's an argument to be made that he's the GOAT actor for Spider-Man, just perfectly cast.
Oh, the best actor to play the role for sure.
Yeah. Just perfectly cast. All right, but just wasted on a terrible script and terrible director. Star Wars, GOAT movies. We got, I'm going to put Rogue One.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Empire. And I'm not putting any others.
I'd put the first one. I think that's
New Hope?
That movie also created the modern blockbuster. Like, none of these movies exist without A New Hope.
I'm going to give you that because I think the same logic applies to X1. I think X1 created the superhero genre.
Yeah.
So I'll give it to you right. Okay, so then, okay, this goes drop down to the right to the shit movies.
Yeah.
Solo, so three prequels, all three of them.
All three of them.
Are even okay.
Yeah.
And
The Last Jedi.
Force Awakens?
I think the Force Awakens is better.
You put The Last Jedi in the shit pile?
Yeah, Last Jedi is not good.
Whoa. Have we talked about this?
Probably. I go back and forth with that movie. Sometimes I think it's very okay. Sometimes I think it tries to be good. There's just there's so much I can't forgive. I can't forgive the casino scene. Like, I just can't forgive that. That movie seems so fucking terrible.
And it's got, and I don't pick out loopholes, but it's got the worst loophole I've ever seen. Like, Benicio del Toro betraying them. I'm like, why did you tell him the plan? He's a thief you met in prison. Like, God damn it, Finn. Like, we might have to have a Finn versus Jon Snow conversation. In terms of how bad at your job. Which hurts because I love that actor. Because I love Attack the Block. But Finn? Bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh. You need to sit out a couple plays, man. You might be concussed. I don't know what's going on with you.
Well, that movie, they only want his character to fail. It's like, this isn't your typical Star Wars. All these things you think about, they're not going to happen. Like, okay, I get it.
I think they're going for like human C-3PO.
Yeah, I would have rather them continue the story that began in the last movie.
Here's my hot take.
Continuing the chemistry he had with fucking Daisy Ridley. Like, these two are fucking magic on the screen together. Let's never show them together again.
Force Awakens, we're going...
it's okay. I don't think that movie's good, but I think it's better.
It's okay. It's okay. And Solo bad, three prequels bad... Okay, so here's the thing. I have not yet put the Last Jedi down or Return of the Jedi down. Because here's my hot take. I'd rather watch The Last Jedi.
Than Return of the Jedi?
I think Return of the Jedi is mostly trash.
I agree. I think that movie's garbage.
Yeah.
I think The Last Jedi is better than that. I actually think the third prequel movie's better than that.
Woo! Wait. Hold on. Wait. Whoa. First of all, let's all admit that Return of the Jedi is saved in the memories of nerddom because the last act is pretty good.
I think the last act is boring. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The second act is boring as fuck.
Yes. Yeah, no, the just the end. Is, just the end. There's a lot of symbolic value to it, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, I also think it's low-key the worst of the original trilogy.
Easily.
Actually, yeah, it's not low-key. I don't think that's a hot take.
No.
So I'm going to put... So are we putting Last Jedi on the shit pile?
Yes, I mean, I am. But I'll do it
because I'm not going to cape for Last Jedi. Although I think it's like, guys, this movie isn't that bad. Come on.
It's very well made. It's a very well made movie. I just think in terms of a Star Wars movie, it's not very good. It's supposed to be this criticism of Star Wars, but it's still guilty of all this Star Wars-y bullshit. Yeah. It's got the cute little thing. It's got fucking every... Oh, yeah. That movie's frustrating.
I'm going to try to do something weird here. I'm going to try to go... Okay. Try to do a batting percentage for these. Okay. So, X-Men. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 total movies.
Jesus fucking Christ. Why? 12 total
movies. This is a fucking X-Men and they're dope. Shut up, Joe. And so out of those 12, 4 are trash for 33% trash.
Okay.
It's actually going to be even. 33% are okay, and 33% are GOAT level, which is actually probably right.
Yeah. That's good percentages. As someone who hires people, that's what you want.
Hey, that's like batting 300 with an on-base percentage of 400. Because right?
I don't know.
No, that's like, yeah, no, I think it is. An okay at bat is a walk, right?
What's your whip?
Yeah. Spider-Man 2.
I'm the one of us who likes baseball, too.
I recognize whip is a thing.
It is. It's a pitching stat.
I have no follow-up. Let's see. So Spider-Man has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Spider-Man might be at the bottom.
5, 6. So its percentages are 50% okay. I do some math here. Hold up. I should probably be able to divide 2 by 6 in my head, but I can't. 33%.
You don't have to.
So Spider-Man's ratio is 17% GOAT, 50% okay, 33% shit.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Same shit percentage.
Same shit percentage. Same amount of strikeouts. Not as many. Yeah. A lot of walks, though. Spidey gets on base.
Yeah, he gets on base. You got to respect him.
It's his chance to score. Right. So, Star Wars, you got 1, 2, 3. Hold on, make sure I put them all on. We got, let's see. Force Awakens, Empire, New Hope, Rogue One, Solo, all three prequels, Jedi, Last Jedi. That's all of them, right?
Yeah.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 movies. All right. Out of those, their shit percentage is 54%.
Ooh, shit. They are at the bottom.
More than half. Wow. Their GOAT percentage is 27. And whatever is left over, I'm not even going to do the math. It's like 19%. Okay. Now, I want to say that we should probably add some bonus points for how much of a GOAT Empire is.
Yeah.
And how much of a GOAT, like, Logan is. But I don't think it's going to change anything. I think clearly it's Star Wars. Actually, I'm going to say that because of the 33-3 score and its level of GOAT movies and its level of shit movies, I think X-Men's the bar. They're like the mean. Which hurts me to say because they're my GOAT franchise. But they're kind of like, if you're doing better than X-Men, then you're doing really well. If you're not doing as well as X-Men, you're going to end soon. And if you're doing just as good as X-Men, you're going to get 12 movies.
Shit, I didn't realize there were so many X-Men movies.
Oh, man. Oh. Bro, you should watch all of them again.
I think I've seen all of them once at least.
Yeah, they're all great. Yeah. They're all great.
Oh,
how do we get here? I'm glad that I was able to commandeer the Captain Marvel pod to talk about the X-Men. I'm just really pleased. We didn't even put
Star Wars. This is a Jorge special.
Shitting on Star Wars. You fucking samurai. You fucking ninja wizards. Pick a side. We're trying to be both. Be Gandalf for Batman. Jedi's are for centrists. All right, man.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right. I gotta go, bro. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's late, man.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I think this turned into a full episode.
It did. That was a good.
All right, man.
I gotta work tomorrow.
Okay.
And I got comic books to read before I go to bed.
Well, I got spring break, so it's gonna be fucking busy as fuck tomorrow.
Are you getting spring break?
Spring break. I've made that joke a lot at work. It doesn't really play well. Yeah. These kids don't know.
Got stuck up that Four Loko.
All right, man. All right.